Jesus Christ, we have an anchor that no matter how severe the storms of life get, you have that safety and security of knowing that you're anchored, that you're not going to get washed away, you're not going to get swept out to sea by those storms. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful that the Lord is that. Well, guys, here we are. It's day three. It's our last full day together. It's my last time to get up and speak to you, and I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed spending the week with you, and I'm excited to have one more day. I've enjoyed getting to know some of you guys, continuing to get to know some of you guys that I've already met and some of the new faces this year. And I certainly hope that we'll see you all again here next year, and we'll do it all over again. But it's been a really great week, and last night, I want to just chat for just a quick second, because I don't want to overlook what happened last night. Several of you made the most important decision that you're ever going to make in your life. Several of you in here made the decision to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And if I could, I'm just curious, if you'll just raise your hand, if you trusted Christ as your Savior last night, will you just raise your hand?
Yeah.
Look at that. Okay, that's good, guys. You can put them down. You know, guys, it truly is the most important decision, the single most important decision you're ever going to make in your entire life. You now are part of God's family. You now have God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the power that spoke the universe into existence with just his words. You have that power living inside of you now. And your job now is to take the things that we've been talking about this week and begin to get into your Bibles and begin to read it and begin to study it. And even though I know it can be an overwhelming thought at the beginning, because it's a big book, there's a lot of things in there. But you now have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, and one of his main jobs is to help you learn it, is to help you understand it. But you've got to be willing to put in the work, and there's people here that are willing to spend time with you and sit down and disciple you and open up that Bible and help you begin to build a relationship with the Lord that'll be something that'll be lasting. And I want to share a verse with you before I get into my message today. This was, you know, Bob said it last night. I got saved when I was 14 years old at a camp exactly like this. We were in Colorado, but it was just like this. And I remember it like it was yesterday. And the youth pastor who, you know, took me aside the night that I came forward and opened up the Bible and showed me how I could get saved. After I prayed and after I accepted Christ as my Savior, he shared this verse with me in Luke chapter 15, verse 7, where it says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." And I thought that was the coolest thing that I had ever seen, that literally in that moment that I repented of my sins and I trusted Christ as my Savior, that all of heaven, God Almighty and all of the angels in heaven were rejoicing just over stupid me, just over little old me. And so I got news for you. With all the people that got saved here last night, it was a party up there last night. It was a party up there. God and all of the angels up there were rejoicing over you. They were rejoicing over the decision that you guys made last night. And that's no small thing. And I want you to remember that, because God died for you specifically. When Christ was hanging on the cross, your name went through his mind. He was thinking about you, and he's so excited, and we're all so excited that you made that decision last night. Now let's recap quickly. We got to get into this today. Our first 2 days, of course, on Monday, we talked about, you know, we're talking about being ready to be God's man, being ready to be God's woman. And those of you that trusted Christ last night, you guys now have the ability to do just exactly that. You've got to start on your growth process. But we first started out talking about how you need to have a ready mind and you need to have a ready heart. And then yesterday, we looked at being ready to serve. And we talked about how we were literally saved to walk in good works. We were saved to serve the Lord. We weren't saved because of our good works, remember? But we're saved unto good works. We're saved to do good works. And we should be in a hurry to serve God. You guys, especially you guys that just got saved last night, you should be excited. You should be looking for every opportunity that you can to serve God, to start to learn your Bible, to start to build a relationship with him, and to start to show him the gratitude that you have for what he did for you on the cross. And we talked about how you should go over and above, that you're not looking to just do the bare minimum, that when you have an opportunity to serve the Lord, an opportunity to do something for somebody and help somebody in some way, you should do more than what's asked of you. You should be looking to do above the baseline. And then we said you should have a humbleness of heart when you do it. You should have an understanding that it's a privilege to be able to be in God's family. It's a privilege to be able to serve the Lord. And it's a privilege to have the opportunity to do something for somebody and help somebody. And then we talked about the next step in line after you learn to serve, after you begin to have that servant's heart, that servant's attitude, is that you step into the realm of sacrifice and being ready to sacrifice. And we saw how with Abraham that God is going to test you with the things that you love most. He wants to find out the things that are most important to you in your life. Are you willing to sacrifice those things? Are you willing to give those things up to be able to have a better relationship with Him and to be able to serve Him better? And when God asks us to give those things up, when God asks us to sacrifice, just like Abraham, we don't ask questions. We don't question God about it. We just obey and we sacrifice and we do what God has asked us to do. And then we saw that Abraham, when he was asked to take Isaac up and sacrifice him, it says he rose up early in the morning. Again, we don't wait. We don't hesitate. We're in a hurry to do what God has asked us to do. And I implored you yesterday morning that if God was dealing with you, don't wait, don't put it off. And many of you did exactly that. You made the decision last night. You didn't put it off until today. You didn't put it off until next week. You didn't put it off until next year. You allowed God to deal with you right in that moment last night. And that's exactly what He wants you to continue to do now in your walk with Him. Don't put off till tomorrow what God is calling you to do today. And then lastly, we saw that God indeed asks us not only to sacrifice some things for Him, but to make ourselves, to give ourselves as a living sacrifice, where we literally lay our entire lives on the altar for God and say, God, You can have me for whatever You want me for. I'll do whatever You ask me to do. I'll go wherever You want me to go. I'll talk to whoever You want me to talk to. My life is not my own. I understand that I was bought with a price, that the price paid on Calvary's cross to forgive me for my sins and to pay for my sin debt also bought me, and I'm not my own, and I'm now owned by God, and I need to give Him my whole life, and I need to become that living sacrifice for God. So where are we today then? The final two pieces that I'm going to add to this puzzle for you today about being ready to serve God, to being ready to be everything God wants you to be, is these two things we're going to talk about today. Being ready to preach, and then being ready to give an account. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank You so much. First of all, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the sacrifice He made on Calvary's cross for us, Lord. We thank You that You loved us enough to send Your Son to die for us, that You loved us enough to show us that grace and mercy that we don't deserve, and You were willing to die for us and save us. And I thank You for all of the kids that made that decision last night. And I pray now that You'll strengthen them, You'll encourage them. As they head back out into the world tomorrow and head back home, the devil's going to have everything in the world lined up to try to defeat them immediately and stop them from growing. And I pray that You'll help them to overcome that. I pray that Your Spirit will put the people in their lives that they need so they can begin that growth process of maturing into a soldier for You, Lord. And give them the protection that they need to overcome those challenges that are out there in the world waiting for them. And I pray this morning as we get into this last message and throughout the day and then as Mike comes up tonight, that Your Holy Spirit will speak through me. Let my words be what You want me to say, Lord, and let it be a blessing for everybody hearing it. Let us learn some things today, Lord, and let us add these last two pieces into our lives and make sure that we're ready to be everything You've called us to be, Lord. We love You, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans chapter 1:15, verse 15 says this: So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel. You've got to be ready to preach the gospel. And I can look at some of your eyes right now, and you look a little scared at that idea. I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, there is no way, that I'm ever going to preach. There's no way. I'm not getting up in front of a room full of 200 people, and I wouldn't even want to get up in front of a room full of 200 people and tell them what my birthday is. But I got news for you. God's called you to be a preacher. And it's part of your growth process. And if you're going to be ready to be everything God wants you to be, you need to preach. But let's see something first. Turn over to the book of Acts chapter 8. I want you to see that preaching, God's definition of preaching, is not always just doing what I'm doing right now. You don't have to be a pastor to be a preacher. You don't have to be able to stand behind a pulpit in front of 50 people or 500 people and open up the Bible to preach. Yeah, that's definitely preaching, but that's not all that's preaching. That's a misconception out there that doing what I'm doing right now is the only definition of preaching. That's not God's definition necessarily. In Acts chapter 8, pick it up in verse 25 and read it with me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So we have a group, we have the apostles here who they are preaching to crowds. They're preaching great revivals. They're out doing what God had called them to do, where he said, "Go ye into all the nations," right? They're sharing and preaching the gospel to large crowds. But look what happens here. In verse 26, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." So God called Philip out of the revival and the preaching that he was doing. And he says, "I want you to go out to the desert. I've got a job for you there." Look at verse 27. "And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest what thou readest?" So quickly, it's not the main point of the message, but let's point it out as we see it. Look at what Philip did when the Holy Spirit told him to go join himself to the chariot. What did he say? He ran, right? He ran. God wants us to run. You've seen that all the way through yesterday and the day before. Everywhere we look, there's people running to go and do what God has called them to do. I hope you're seeing that theme. I hope you're understanding that there should be urgency. As I said yesterday, there should be urgency with us serving the Lord and doing what God has called us to do. So in verse 31 it says, "And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man?" And look at verse 35. "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and what? Preached unto him Jesus." So here's Philip, and he's preaching to a giant crowd, to a camp of 260 people, to a church with 1,000 people, to a room of 25 people. No, one person. He's sitting and he's opening up the Word of God, and he's preaching Jesus to this Ethiopian eunuch. One person, one man. That's all it takes to be a preacher. You just have to be willing to open your mouth and speak to somebody about the Lord. That's what God's talking about when he says, I want you to preach, when he's called you to preach. Yeah, some of you should have the goal. Some of you probably do have the goal to be able to do what I'm doing right now. And you'll get there. God will absolutely develop you into that if that's your heart's desire. And even if it's not your heart's desire right now, God may place that desire in your heart someday. And he may call you, even if it's not there, and say, guess what? You're going to go preach. You're going to be a preacher to hundreds. You're going to go pastor a church someday. You have no idea what God's going to do with you as you get older. But right here and right now, you need to be ready and willing and able to go and preach to that one person that God puts into your world and that God puts into your life. This moment right here, as we talked about yesterday, this is not a chandelier moment for Philip. He came from the chandelier moment. He was preaching a great revival, and God called him away from there, and he said, I want you to go to the desert. And guess what? There's no audience out there in that desert. He didn't even know why he was going. He just knew that God had called him to go. And when he got out there, there was one man, one person that needed to hear the gospel. And Philip was willing to go. That was a back porch light bulb moment. And I pray that we're all willing to do that, just like Philip was. I'll tell you something else about our preaching. We need to be instant in our preaching. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. What does that mean? That means we need to be ready at all times. That's what he says when he says be instant. Instant is just that. It's I'm ready at a moment's notice. And that doesn't mean I'm ready at a moment's notice to preach a 1 hour sermon, even though you should get to the point eventually in your life where you are ready to do that and you are able to do that. But it's ready at a moment's notice when God presents an opportunity and he puts somebody in front of you that needs to hear about the Lord, that you're ready to preach to them. You're ready to preach Jesus to them at that moment. And he says in season and out of season. What does that mean? It means when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Guys, there's going to be times where you're called to preach and God's got a message that he needs you to give to somebody where it's not very convenient to do it. There may be other people around that you're afraid they're going to make fun of you. You're afraid that they're going to laugh at you. You're afraid that they're going to decide they don't want to be your friends anymore. You may be in the middle of doing something that you don't think that you can pull yourself away from. But you've got to be instant, out of season. There's going to be times where you just don't feel good. There's going to be times where maybe you're a little bit out of fellowship. You're having a bad day. You're in a bad mood and you're upset about some things that you probably shouldn't be upset about. And boom, God drops somebody in front of you and the Holy Spirit tells you, he says, there's an opportunity. You need to preach Jesus to him. And you've got to be ready to do that. You've got to be ready and you've got to be able. You know, Mike talked about God wanting to armor you up last night, right? Ephesians chapter 6. Well, let me share one of the verses in Ephesians chapter 6 in that passage where he's talking about the whole armor of God. Verse 15, it says this, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're talking about being ready. He says your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Why is it your feet? Because everywhere you go, your feet is what's taking you there. Everywhere you go, your feet are the first thing, unless you're like me and you got a giant nose. Your feet are the first things that get wherever you're going. Okay? Your feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. That means everywhere you go, every moment in your life, you're prepared to share the gospel with somebody if the opportunity is there. You're prepared to preach Christ to somebody that needs it. You know, I said yesterday that we have to have a humility in our service for the Lord, and we have to understand that, you know, there's other people that could do this. Don't ever get prideful about the things that you do for God and think that God somehow can't get it done without you. And that is true, and I meant what I said. But let me tell you who does need you. The people that God puts in your life, they need you to hear the gospel. Let me share a verse with you in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So he's talking about people who need to get saved. And he said, this is right after he tells us how we get saved. He says, you call upon the name of the Lord, right? So he goes on to say, by the way, how can somebody call on the name of the Lord if they've never believed in him? And he says, how can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? And then he says this, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So the people in your lives, the people around you, they need you to be that preacher. You never know if that friend of yours, if that family member of yours, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, grandpa, your cousin, your brother or your sister, whoever it might be, your neighbor, your best friend, you may be the preacher that they need to hear from, that they need to hear about Jesus from. How can they ever believe in the Lord? How can they ever be saved if they don't have a preacher to tell them? And so back again to this concept of being instant and being ready. Another verse I want to share with you in Timothy, kids, you guys should know this one, I believe, so feel free to shout it out with me if you want to. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Nice job. That was your verse from yesterday, right?
Yeah.
You guys are already working on your verse for today, right? Yeah, so that's awesome that on the next day, that's the idea, by the way. We're not trying to get you to memorize it so you can call it out, get your points, and then be done with it and forget about it. The fact that you guys can still remember it the next day, that means you really hit it in your heart. But what does that verse mean? He says, you need to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sanctify is kind of a big fancy word that nobody really uses today, and it simply means this, set apart. God should be set apart in your, inside your heart from everything else. He should have a higher position than everything else in your life, more important to you than everything else. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and what? Be ready always to give an answer to who? To every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. People are going to ask you about your faith. They're going to ask you about why you are the way you are, and you need to be ready to give them an answer. I'll give you a little side note to think about. You know, he says you need to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you. What do you think it means if nobody ever asks you anything? It might mean that you aren't different enough for them to think that there is a hope that lies within you. If you gather, if you understand what I'm saying, you should have a testimony as Christians. We're supposed to be different from the world. And the problem that most of us have is that we live exactly like the world. The people around us, our friends at school, they can't tell the difference between us and anybody else. They see us acting like everybody else out there. They have no reason to ask us for a reason of the hope that lies within us because they don't see it. They see nothing in our lives that looks any different than anything they have. When they see you as a Christian, and I'm not talking about going out there and being a weirdo, okay? There's plenty of weirdos out there in Christianity that, in my opinion, hurt the cause of Christ because they portray something that nobody would want to be a part of. That's not what we believe. That's not what we preach. What we preach is that you live your lives by a standard, by the standard of the Word of God. There are certain principles that you walk and you abide by. There are certain things that you're not going to do. There are certain things you're not going to say, certain places you're not going to go. But you can still be in the world. The Bible teaches us that you need to be in the world but not of the world. That means you got to be in that world out walking around. That's where the people are that need the Lord. You can't avoid them. You can't stay away from them. But you don't get in right with them and walk around and act like them. There should be something different about you. They should see a difference when they're fretting and they're worrying and they're scared of everything in their life, that you have a peace in your heart and none of those types of things bother you. Those are the kinds of situations where they're going to ask you and they're like, why do you seem to have it together? Like, why are you not freaked out about this? Why are you not freaked out about that? Why does that not bother you? And right there, that's the question. No, they're not going to come out and ask, like, I noticed it seems like you have a hope that lies within you. I wondered if you could tell me what that is. Like, that's not how the question's going to be, all right? But they're going to ask you things, and you have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit to see those opportunities to be able to tell them. You know, they're going to say, "Hey, why don't you ever go to the parties and hang out with us on Friday nights when you invite us?" You know, right there, the opportunity to say, "Well, I like you guys and I like hanging out with you guys, but the stuff that you get into at those hangouts, I'm just not going to do that. I don't drink. I don't party like that. You know, I'm happy to hang out with you. We can go catch a movie together, go to a game or something, go play some pickleball or go shoot some hoops or whatever. But I'm just not going to come and do that. You know, and then you can tell them why. You can say, because I don't need that in my life. I've got something else that fulfills me. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. He gives me the peace that passeth all understanding. I'm perfectly content with every aspect of my life. And I don't need to drink alcohol to try to make me forget about my problems. I take them to the Lord. I get into the book and he helps me with my problems. That's where I go. And you know what? I don't wake up in the morning, you know, puking my guts out. And with a terrible headache after that. I wake up in the morning after a good night's sleep feeling like a million bucks and I'm ready to go. That's how it works. That's how you get those opportunities. But they need to be able to see a difference in your life. We've got to move on here. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's look at a couple more things about preaching, and then we're going to get on to being ready to give an account. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm just going to quickly read verses 1 through 5. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my what? My preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Okay, a couple of things let's pull out of here. Number one, verse one, it says that he came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. It's okay if you're not the best at speaking. You can be a preacher. You can preach the gospel. You can tell people about the Lord, even if you stumble over your words a little bit. You know, Moses couldn't talk at all. When God first called Moses, he called him out to lead the nation of Israel out of bondage, out of the land of Egypt and into the promised land. And he had to go before Pharaoh, the king of the Egyptians, and stand in his court and talk to him. And Moses is like, "Lord, I can't even talk. Why are you asking me to do that?" And God gave him what he needed and he helped him through that. You don't have to be some great orator. You don't have to be the best speaker in the world. Because it's not about coming with excellency of speech. It's just about declaring the testimony of God. It's just about preaching Christ. Look at verse 2. He says, And I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Look, guys, keep it simple. Tell people about Jesus and about how he died for their sins. Tell them about what he did for you in your life and how he can do the same for them. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. You can do it. And then I love this. I love verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul who's writing this, okay? The Apostle Paul who wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, who was the greatest Christian that ever lived on planet Earth, the type of Christian that we should all strive to be. Look what he says in verse 3. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be scared about it. It's okay to be a little bit nervous. It's okay in those moments to be like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this." It's normal. It's normal. You put your trust in the Lord and the Holy Spirit. I told you at the beginning, you guys that just got saved and everybody else in here that already is and they understand this. You have all the power that God is and that God has living inside of you. You think that the Holy Spirit can't overcome any small shortcomings that you have and any problems and fears that you may have? He absolutely can, 100%. You just have to trust him and you just have to go. You just have to do it. It's okay to be scared. And in verse 4 and 5, we see that it's not about you don't do it in man's wisdom, okay? It's God's power. You speak through God's power and you let God work through you and give you the words. So we need to be ready to preach. And I hope you guys have a good understanding of that now. Let's move on to our last thing. And we're going to just take a couple of minutes to talk about this because it's very important. It's probably maybe the most important thing that you need to understand moving forward. It's the thing that keeps us on the path that we need to be on. It's the thing that we should think about every single day. When you wake up in the morning, it should be the first thing that you think about and what motivates you throughout the day. And that is the fact that you need to be ready to give an account, because you are going to give an account someday. Now, here's the thing about God. Here's the thing about our salvation. God offered it to us for free. There's no strings attached to it. He died on the cross because he loved you, because he didn't want you to have to go to hell and pay your own sin debt. He didn't want you to have to do that. And so he made a way. He knew that it was impossible for you to live a perfect and sinless life. So he made a way for you to escape. He sent his son to die on the cross and pay the price for you. So all you have to do is repent from your sins and ask him to forgive you and ask him to come into your heart and save you. And it says that he'll do that. That's all that it takes. But then, as I said yesterday, after that, God's got some expectations for you. After you accept that free gift, he says, I need you to go to work now. There's other people that need to get saved. There's other people that need to hear the message. You're a part of that plan, and I need you to serve me. I need you to be part of my team and part of that process. But you're going to give an account someday for your life after you get saved. You're going to give an account to the Lord about how you lived your life. and what you did or what you didn't do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says this: "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." Now, are you going to be punished in the sense of the way an unsaved person gets punished for their sin and where they go and they pay the price for their sin in hell? No, you're not. Once your sins are forgiven, praise the Lord, they're forgiven. They're under the blood and they're washed away. But you're going to give an account for what you did for God, and you're going to answer for that someday. And you need to be aware of that, and you need to understand that. God expects you to not accept that free gift, the most amazing gift that we could ever get in our lives, and then turn around and do nothing with it and go back to the world and go back to your old life and go back to doing whatever it is that you want to do. Don't think that you're going to be able to go through your entire life after trusting Christ and accepting that gift and doing whatever you want to do, and that there's not going to be a time where there's going to be some consequences where you're going to have some regrets. That day's coming where you're going to give an account for your life. Any of you ever taken a test in school that you forgot to study for? That's not a fun feeling, is it? I don't know. Some of you might not, you know, some of you are like, whatever, I don't care about school. But you know, regardless, you guys understand that feeling. Maybe you forgot that there was going to be a test. I've been there before. Actually, when I was younger, like the first 5 years, I'd say maybe 10 years after I got out of school, I would have dreams about it. I would have nightmares where I'd wake up and, you know, I'd have this dream that, and my dreams were worse. It wasn't even about like forgetting about a test. My dreams were that I was in college and I forgot that I was even signed up for a class. And I went the entire semester and I never went to class one time. And then I had to go and take the final at the end. And I'm like, this is not going to be good. And then, you know, thankfully I would wake up right before I'd have to take the test. And then I'd have to like convince myself that it wasn't real. And that's not a fun feeling. And listen, this is the test that you don't want to have that happen for. Because this is the moment where at the judgment seat of Christ, you're now standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and you're staring Him face to face. And let me tell you something. The Bible says that when the rapture of the church happens, and we get, Logan talked about it when he was singing, we're going to get glorified bodies someday. We're going to have perfect voices that are never going to get tired. We're going to have bodies that are never going to need to sleep. They're never going to need to eat. That are never going to have any problems. No disease, no sickness, no nothing. We're also going to have the mind of Christ at that point in our life. Now, we have the mind of Christ here. The Bible tells us that this is the mind of Christ. And our job is to be putting that mind in our mind. Again, I think that was another one of your guys' memory verses. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's our job today, but we don't fully get there, okay? We do the best we can. We get it in our hearts and our minds as best as we can. But on that day, when that day comes, you'll have it all. So let me let you in on this secret if you've never thought about it before. If you've got Christ's mind at that moment, that means you have His memories and you have His feelings. And that means for the first time ever, you will have a 100% clear picture and a memory of the pain and the anguish and the suffering that He went through on Calvary's cross. We do our best to understand it right now, but I promise you we can't. Our mortal minds cannot fathom the suffering that Christ went through on the cross to pay for our sins and to give us that salvation. When that day comes and you're standing before Him, you're going to be looking Him in the eyes, and it's not just about being able to see the nail prints in His hands and His feet. We talk about that and we sing about it, and that's all true. You're literally going to have the same memories that He has. You're going to have a full understanding of everything that He paid for, and then you're going to have to give an account, and you're going to have to answer to Him for what you did with it, what you did with that salvation, whether you did anything at all. And that's going to be a scary day for a lot of Christians out there. And I don't want it to be a scary day for you. That's why I'm warning you about it now. That's why I'm trying to help you understand that that day's coming. That test is coming. And you can be prepared for it. Because see, here's the great thing. Every once in a while, you're getting ready to go take a test at school, and the teacher the day before they'll say, "We're going to have a study session." And they give you some clues. Sometimes they give you the answers to the test ahead of time. That's I love when they do that. And then you can study and you're like, I just got to study these answers and I'll be ready to go. Listen, guys, God gave you the answers to the test before he ever gave it to you. It's right here. But what? You got to do some work. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You've got the answers to the test, guys, but it's up to you to study it. When your teacher gives you the answers to the test the night before you got a big final, that's great. But if you don't go home that night and look at them and study them and commit them to memory, you're still going to get an F on the test the next day. You've got the answers, but you've got to put in the work. You've got to get into the book. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to stand before the Lord that day that are going to be ashamed at the lives that they've lived and what they have not done for God. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're not going to turn there for time, but over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about the things that we invest our lives in, that when we get to that moment, those things, and he describes them, he talks about gold, silver, and precious stones, and those represent things that we can invest our lives in our time in. The gold represents the deity of Christ. It represents understanding, a full understanding of who Christ really was and giving him that honor and that place in our life. The second one is silver, which represents the price that was paid, because Christ was turned in by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, right? You guys know the story. And so it's the price of redemption. And again, that's having an understanding of what Christ did on the cross. And then you have precious stones, and those precious stones represent people. They represent souls. They represent people that you've invested in, people that maybe people that you won to Christ yourself, or people that you had a part in their lives. And then he talks about wood, hay, and stubble. And he says that all of those things, all of our works, everything in our life is going to be sent through a fire. And you're going to be left with whatever comes out on the other side. And here's the thing. Gold, silver, and precious stones, when you put those things through the fire, all they do is they get purified. If there's any dirt on them, anything that shouldn't be there gets burned away. But they remain. But wood, hay, and stubble, you guys know that. You're all going to see that tonight, Lord willing, if the rain holds off. You guys are going to be down having a bonfire. You younger kids, we're going to have a fire for you, and you're going to be making some s'mores tonight. You put wood, hay, and stubble in a fire, what happens? It's gone. Many of the things that we invest our lives in, many of the things that we spend our time doing is nothing more than wood, hay, and stubble. It doesn't account for anything. It won't last, and it won't make it through the fire. And I don't want you guys to be standing before the Lord someday at that judgment, and all your works, everything that you've done, go through that fire, and they get burned up. And you're standing in front of him, and you're looking at him, like I said, fully understanding everything he did for you, and you have nothing to show for it. You have nothing to say, Lord, this is what I did. You've got to invest in things that last, things that will last through that fire. And it's, Bob tells us all the time, preaches it all the time, there's two things in this world that will last forever. Number one is the Word of God, and number two is the souls of men. The souls of men are eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Everything else is temporary. Your video games, your jobs, your money, your possessions, your shoes, your clothing, everything that you've got that you love is going to burn up someday and it's going to be gone. All you're going to have left is what you invested in that's eternal. The Word of God and the souls of men. You're going to give an account someday, guys. You've got to understand that. And I'd say I'm not here to scare you, but I'm kind of here to scare you. That's my job. My job is to tell you the truth and say, this is what it is. I don't want you to stand before the Lord someday and have nothing to show for it. You guys trusted Christ as your Savior last night? That's amazing. That's why you were here. God wanted you to do that, but it doesn't end there. It's just the beginning. Now you've got to get into the Bible, and you've got to begin to learn Scripture, and you've got to grow spiritually so you can become everything that God wants you to be. So you can take the things that we've talked about this week, and you can be ready to be God's man. You can be ready to be God's woman and to do everything that God has called you to do. But you've got to put these things in your life. You have to get your mind ready. You have to get your heart ready. You have to get a servant's attitude and build your life around service for God. And then you have to grow into that mode of sacrifice where you're giving the things up that you love the most. And you're becoming, you yourselves are becoming a living sacrifice. And then you've got to be ready to preach. because there's people out there that need to hear the gospel. There's people out there that they couldn't make it to camp. Maybe you invited them and they couldn't come. God needs you to share with them what they missed. God needs you to share the gospel with them. Because the last thing you need to be ready for is that judgment seat of Christ. You're going to give an account someday. Nobody is going to escape it. Nobody's going to be there to help you. Your mom and dad are not going to be standing with you there in that moment, helping you answer those questions. You're going to stand alone. I'm going to stand alone. It's not just about you. This is about me too. Every single one of us, your counselors, are going to stand alone in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for their lives. And so I encourage you to get your priorities straight. Focus on the things that matter. Focus on the things that are eternal. Cast aside this nonsense that we get caught up in. You know, like Mike talked about last night, the anger and the silly things that we allow to distract us and to get in our way from serving God. It's not worth it, guys. The TikTok, the Instagram, the Snapchat, the things that we waste our time, throughout the day that keep us out of reading our Bible and keep us out of growing spiritually for the Lord. You're going to give an answer someday. And I hope that every day when you wake up, you think about that. The first thing that if you have to make a poster and get your parents' permission first and tape it to the ceiling in your bedroom. So when you open your eyes in the morning, you look and say, you may go home to be with the Lord someday. And after that comes the judgment seat of Christ. So every morning you remind yourself, today could be my last day to serve the Lord. I better be serving Him when God comes back, because I'm going to give an answer someday. Listen, guys, I love you. Bob loves you. We all love you. And that's why we're here. That's why we come. We'd spend 2 weeks here with you if we could. And we are here for you. And so, listen, I encourage you. Today is our last day. A bunch of you got saved last night. Some of you still need to. I know it. I just know it. Some of you last night, God was telling you and He was tugging on your heart and He was saying, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. And you wouldn't do it. You were holding on to something. You're like, I just don't know. You were scared. You were prideful, whatever it may be. God's still dealing with you and He's still working on you. You need to be ready. You need to deal with that and take care of that today. These guys are here for you. Like I said, you don't have to wait till tonight. You can catch them at lunch today. You can catch them on the way down to your activity and say, hey, when we get a chance, I need to talk to you. I need to get saved. Some of you, you are saved, but you're still just living in the world. You're playing those games and you will not give your life over to Christ. Again, don't put it off. You put it off till tomorrow when you go home, it's going to be a whole lot easier for you to just continue to put it off, because you're just going to sink right back into your old life and into the world. Don't let yourself get back into that mode. The devil is waiting for you when you head out these doors. He's waiting for you tomorrow. He's got obstacles already there that you don't even know what they are yet. You need to be ready. And we're here for you. We got all day long. You got questions, come and ask us. You need to talk about stuff, let us know. Because there's coming a day where you got to give an answer, and you need to make sure that you're ready for that. So guys, let's pray. And thank you for being such a good, attentive audience. You're an easy crowd to be able to preach to, and I appreciate that. I know Mike does as well.